snowed, and we haven't practiced it a whole lot, but since it snowed, I'm going to sing it with the kids and let them do the part they do on it, and then we'll see if we might sing Jesus Loves Me after that. Can I sit right here? I'll sit right with you guys, okay? Let's sing it to them. Come on this side of me. And you stay right there. You guys come on close. Remember the part that goes snow, snow, snow. All right, hopefully that'll pick us up. You guys ready?
Raise it up a little bit.
Here we go. All the dirt and the mud that gets all covered up reminds me of a time not long ago.
Snow, snow.
When the stain of sin was down on my soul, and God's love made my sin as white as snow. Snow, snow, white as snow, white as snow, snow, snow. All my sin has been made as white as snow. I'm on my way to heaven. My soul is saved, I know. All my sin has been made as white as snow. Snow, snow. So scared and so lost, but the one who paid cost offered me a chance for him to take control. Snow, snow, love and mercy came down. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Praise his name, I've been made as white as snow. Snow, snow, really loud. White as snow, snow, snow. White as snow, snow, snow. All my sin has been made as white as snow. Snow, snow. I'm on my way to heaven. My soul is saved, I know. All my sin has been made as white as snow. Snow, snow. If you moved all the snow, raised it back into the sky, all that dirt and the mud would still show. But the stain that was in me is no longer there to see. Jesus' blood made my sin as white as snow.
Snow, snow,
snow. White as snow,
snow, snow.
White as snow,
snow, snow.
All my sin has been made as white as snow.
Snow, snow.
I'm on my way to heaven. My soul is saved, I know. All my sin has been made as white as snow.
Snow, snow.
Good job. Let's do Jesus Loves Me. Are you guys ready? Go back there. Hop back over. Here we go. Good and loud.
Cactus.
Huh? That's all right. Hop over. Jesus loves me as I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
welcome everybody this morning. We appreciate everybody being here, and appreciate I have that time that the Lord washed me white as snow. I enjoyed that song this morning. But as everybody knows, we got a lot of people, you know, in Tennessee. We got a lot of people sick, and let's remember all them. But my thought was the Lord is going to be here this morning. He's going to be down there with them this morning and be with a lot of other churches this morning. I pray and hope, and a lot of good things can happen here and down there. And we just pray we can all get in our spot and do everything He asks of us this morning. And let's just be real prayerful this morning and get in our spots and do everything He asks of us this morning. I'm asked Brother Mike Nichols dismiss Sunday school.
We appreciate being in God's house. I wasn't figuring on trying to teach Sunday school this morning. Jay was supposed to, but he's sick. And it fell my lot. And I always try to study the lesson anyway, whether whoever's turn it is to teach. But sometimes when I know somebody else going to teach, I don't teach it as like I would if I knowed I had to get up here. But we appreciate being in God's house. And I say this pretty regular. This Bible is God's letter to me. Yeah. And I was thinking this morning, about this lesson, and we like to quote John 3:16, about God's love, or over in Thessalonians about Him coming back, taking the church home. We like all those good things. We like to quote those and think about them, and they're. Nothing wrong with that. That's good. I sit sometimes and just think about the resurrection and how it's going to be. And I can't really imagine it. But it's you talk about. I ain't never shouted in my life. I've come awful close a lot of times, but I ain't never done it. But I believe it when I get up, if I'm in the grave, if I get up, I'm going to shout. And if I'm still standing around here somewhere and Jesus comes, I'm going to shout. But we like, the thought was, we like to apply them kind of scriptures to us because we know they're right. They're going to. That's coming. But this one, Paul was getting on these people for their sin. And we like to kind of look back and say, well, them people was awful bad. And maybe we ain't never done none of the sins that he's talking about in here. But these are all sins that the devil will tempt you with if you ain't careful. And I got a scripture wrote down here somewhere. It says that he will not allow us, now I may not be quoting this word for word, but he said he will not allow us to be tempted above that we are able, but with every temptation there's a way made for our escape. And people, I've heard it said that people say, well, I just can't live, I can't live like that. If you just absolutely can't live like that, you better get saved. Because Jesus said you could. With his help. Well, we're all failures. The Bible said we've all failed and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. I can't stand up here and say that I'm better than anybody else, or that I've lived better than anybody else. I've failed God miserably in my life. But Apostle Paul said, he said, I die daily. And we have to repent on a regular basis. And I'm talking about people that live close to the Lord. You ain't gonna live close to the Lord if you don't repent pretty regular. But Paul wrote this letter, and we're in the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians, starting at the 5th verse. Paul wrote this letter, and he was getting on some of the people in the Corinthian church about the way they was living. Now, if you notice, ever once in a while, our pastor does that a little bit. And I hope there ain't nobody in Lima Missionary Baptist Church is doing some of the things these people were doing. But who knows? God does. And if God give Paul this letter to write to the Corinthians to tell them about their sin. And I guarantee you, we might be sitting here in the church and have all kinds of different sins in our life, and maybe, just maybe, we got them hid from everybody in the church. And we still come to church and take our seat, and I guarantee you, if you're living like that, it'll be shouted from the housetops. God will tell on you. Be sure, the Bible said, your sins will find you out. The whole point I was trying to make, we like the good scriptures and we apply them to us. The bad scriptures, we kind of skip over them to somebody else. Them's to us too. Whether we're doing those sins or not, those are to us to warn us not to do those things. And the Bible said for us to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us and run with patience the races set before us. And that's a hard thing to do. It's not easy to defeat the devil. Why do you think Jesus had to come? He's the only one that could. And when Jesus died on the cross, I believe, and this is just my thoughts, I believe when Jesus died on the cross, the devil shouted. He's jumping up and down. He thought he won. But on that third morning when Jesus got up, the devil was on the run. He was beat. Jesus had all power in heaven and earth, and he put the devil on the run. Now, when I got saved, when you got saved, he bound the devil in here, down in our soul. He bound him and his angels and his goods and all everything, and cast him out into the earth. And he's not been in my soul since then, and never will be. But he's going, you remember, he said he's going up and down in the earth. That's this carcass you're looking at. Satan's in this thing. So we've got a battle between right and wrong. I think about, I've said this a lot of times, but one of the very best things I think about heaven, the devil ain't going to be there. I've been saved since I was 15 years old. And Satan stayed right after me all that time. He ain't never going to quit. I remember I've told this one a bunch of times, but this is a really stands out. When I hadn't been saved long, and I was going to school, I'm a senior, and the devil was on my back all day long, just bothering me bad. And I got home and I went in the bathroom and got on my knees and prayed, asked the Lord for help. And there was a visitor's leaflet from Sunday school laying on a dresser, and I picked it up, and the memory verse was that one I quoted a while ago. I'll not have you tempted above what you're able. And he filled my cup up and run it over, and the devil was gone. And I don't know how long he stayed gone, but he stayed gone for a little while and then probably come right back. I don't remember. But he stayed after me ever since I got saved. The devil wants to mess our lives up so that we can't be a light to our people. But for him to do that, we got to help him. We've got what we need to defeat the devil if we're saved by the grace of God. And we can do that. But the fifth verse of the 13th chapter, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now, if we've been saved by the grace of God, examine ourselves and know that. And I thought when I read that, about Terry's got that saying he says all the time, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. And we need to know that. And if you've been saved, you can know that. Now, there's a scripture in maybe 10 Peter. says to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience brotherly kindness. And I don't know, there's probably a couple others. Said, if these be in you and abound, they make you that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful. Then it goes on down and says, but if he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgot that he was ever purged from his old sins. So you can get so far away from God that you forget. And I've known some people that's done that, said they did. And so we need to, God give us some work to do. He said, add to your faith all that big list of things. He told us to add them. So it's up to us. And that's part of coming to church, reading your Bible, and praying. We need to, and I fail miserably. I'm probably not the only one, but I know I do. But we need to be like Daniel. He went into his room and opened his window toward Jerusalem and prayed three times a day. Now, sometimes I pray more than that. If I've got a real burden on my heart, sometimes I'll pray just about all day. But then just on an ordinary day when nothing ain't bothering me too bad, I might sit and watch TV about all day or something and not even think about praying. Till it gets bedtime, then I try to pray. And sometimes that don't work. If you forget God all day, he might not let you pray when you go to bed. But anyway, he said, examine yourselves. And we need to do that on a regular basis. Have you ever come to church? Have you ever come to church and said, Lord, we need you now? And that's the first time you needed him all week. And he may not show up then. I mean, if I just went home once a week, my wife probably wouldn't let me in the house. And so we need to watch where we're at and acknowledge God in our life every day. And if you ain't got a burden to pray for, you got. I hadn't thought about this. If you ain't got a burden to pray for, you sure got a lot of things to be thankful for. And we need. I try. When I get down to pray, I try to thank God forever all the blessings he's given me, and that's the only way I can say it, because I can't count them. But I try to thank God. And the 100th Psalm said, enter into his courts with thanksgiving, or into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. And I might have got them turned around, but when we approach God, we need to approach him with thanksgiving and with praise, and then let him know our petitions. And anybody got anything?
Saved, Jesus. When I got saved, Jesus came into my heart and cleaned it all out and 16th verse says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you go there and something you referred to there just a few minutes ago, over the tail end of that, about the 22nd verse, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law.
Yep.
Those is all the things you got today. You got saved. You stick with it. And if you don't know what all the meaning of all those words, you best go searching for a dictionary to find out. There's a lot more comes after each one of them words. That first one's the love of God.
Yep.
And then joy and everything just falls in place.
Yep. No.
You gotta cover in your spirit.
Yep. The Bible said that we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. And if you don't love your, then the Bible also says this, if you don't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? So when the day I got saved, God put a love down in here that I can't even understand. And before I got saved, I've said this a lot of times, but before I got saved, I probably loved my mom and dad, maybe my brothers and sisters. But other than that, maybe nobody else, I don't know. But after I got saved, and I didn't really like to come to church. My mom and dad had made me come to church all my life. And I had to sit still. They'd line us kids up between them. There was four of us. We sat between mom and dad, and we didn't dare move. And I didn't like that. But the day I got saved, I couldn't wait till Sunday night to get back to church. God changed all that. And I've been saved a long time. And when my heart's been right, it's been the same way. I couldn't wait for church. And there's been a lot of times that I've had to push myself to come to church, to get up and get ready and come to church. I just, the devil will get after you, say you're tired, something, this and that and the other, give you all kinds of reasons. But if you're able at all and you've been saved by the grace of God, our place is right here. And we ought to come ready to worship God. Lay aside everything that gets in our way and come to worship God. Anybody else got anything? So examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, and then on down toward the bottom, or a reprobate. And that's not saved. That's just that ain't the whole dictionary definition, but that's my definition. And if we're saved by the grace of God, we ought to know it. We ought to examine ourselves. And when we're in the process of examining ourselves, we ought to lay aside everything that gets in our way. And you might look at the preacher or some of these guys sitting on the front bench and say they got it pretty easy. They, you know, they're real close to the Lord, and that ain't the case all the time. The devil bothers everybody in the church just alike. He don't let the preacher alone because he's a preacher. He's got the same struggles that we do, the same fight with the devil that we do. And he has to depend on the Lord if he preaches and Terry does a real fine job, in my opinion. I enjoy hearing him preach every Sunday. But he has to keep himself unspotted from the world and stay close to the Lord. And every one of you knows what a struggle that is. It's not always easy. So if we want to enjoy our salvation, we got to stay close to the Lord. We got to examine ourselves, and if there's anything in our way or anything in our life that shouldn't be, lay it aside. Get rid of it. Now, I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. There was people in Corinth, and Paul established this church in Corinth, I believe. But there were some people there that were more or less saying Paul wasn't an apostle, and he didn't, just talking bad about him. He wasn't what he was saying he was, and so on and so forth. But if I get it in my head, and God forbid that I would ever do this, but if I get it in my head that Terry Brock had something wrong with him, we needed to get rid of him. And I got all the confidence in the world in Terry. And I hope he can stay here another 50 years. Suit me. But if I got something I was talking bad about him, or I'd be wrong. As long as God's blessing him to do the job he's doing, as far as I'm concerned, he can keep it. And if God's blessing him to do the job, then I better watch what comes out of my mouth. If God's blessing you, then you don't have any sin in your life right at that moment. You might have sinned earlier in the day, but you repented or something, because God don't bless over sin. So if God's blessing Terry to preach, he's keeping himself close to the Lord. And right at that time he is. So he said, I pray that you do no evil. And Sometimes we got to repent before we can pray for somebody else like that. Because, like I said, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all failures. The 8th verse, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And if you stand against the truth, and you're in trouble. And God is truth. This book, the King James Bible's truth, from the first word in Genesis to the last word in Revelation. Our first article of faith said we believe the Holy Bible was written by men divinely inspired of God and is a perfect treasure of heavenly instruction, that it has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. And that ain't all of it, but I believe that. God wrote that when he said, don't sin, that was to me. And I remember the first time God spoke to me, and I realized right then that he was talking individually to me. And the preacher was preaching, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And God made that real down in here. And I come to Jesus and got saved and been saved ever since. I've been way wrong a lot of times. I've been telling that over and over, but I've been way wrong a lot of times. But when I was, and I don't want nobody to misunderstand what I'm saying, when I was wrong was some of the times that God was the closest to me, but he wasn't blessing me. He was telling me I was wrong. And now, looking back on those times when I think about them and think about God talking to me, that's some of the greatest blessings in my life. Because God was telling me I was wrong. He was letting me know that I belong to him. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. And it's, you know how you feel when you hear about a meeting somewhere else, some other church, and somebody gets saved, and it thrills you to hear that. And that's the way it ought to be. We ought to want all of our brother churches, or however you want to say it, sister churches, we ought to want them to do as good, if not better, than we are. And when we come together here this morning, the whole point is for somebody to get saved. That's what church is about. Now the fellowship we have with one another, that's great. And enjoying the choir singing and special singing and the preaching, that's great. But how much more joy is there if you've enjoyed all of that and then somebody comes and gets saved? There's no greater joy since I got saved than seeing somebody else saved. Or just hearing about them getting saved. And God told the church in Matthew to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. In other words, if they believe and repent, God will baptize them with the fire and the Holy Ghost, and they're saved. And I got saved. I got saved on a Sunday morning, and I don't remember how long it was after that till that I got baptized. But they took me. We went down on. We didn't have a baptistry in that little block building on Albert Street. But went down on 65 the river, and there was four of us got baptized that day. And but I was already saved. That didn't do no more for my salvation. Now it made me a member of the Lima Missionary Baptist Church. And it let the world know that I was saved. That what they seen happen there happened in my life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what that baptism's for. Anybody else got anything? So I wish even your perfection. I've thought, somebody mentioned this just lately, that somebody said they'd like to see the church just one time come together and everybody do exactly what God wanted them to. See what kind of meeting, what kind of hallelujah meeting we'd have. And it would be. Therefore, I write these things. Oh, just another thought. A lot of times, if I'm not careful, I find myself praying, Lord, help so-and-so, help the choir do their job. Help the preacher do his job. Help the special singers do their job. And I forget about me. And I ought to say, every time when we come to God's house, we ought to come like Isaiah said in the 6th chapter of Isaiah. He said, here am I, Lord, send me. And maybe God have something for us to do, and maybe he won't. But if we're willing, we've got our heart right, and he can bless us. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. And Paul's saying he'd have to preach pretty sharp to him. And that I've seen that in this church. Not lately, back a lot of years ago, maybe a preacher come in from outside and get up and just give the church down the road, so to speak. And most of the church didn't like it. Say, well, that's the pastor's job. And it is, but Paul was saying, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to have to come preach to you. And if Paul was way off somewhere doing the Lord's work, and he heard about them, and so evidently some of them people were pretty bad. We can't. God looks on sin with the least of allowance. And the church ought to too. If we know somebody's, I ain't got much time left, but if we know somebody's doing something wrong, we ought to talk to them. And if they won't straighten up, we need to withdraw fellowship from them. There's a scripture in the Bible to tell you that. The brother that sins, don't have any fellowship with him. I don't know if that's the words it uses, but we need to jealously, zealously, or however you want to say it, guard the unity of